be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it.
Hello, my name is Gail Moskowitz and you are listening to Mental Health Matters. I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and I have practiced in the Richmond community for more years than I'd like to even admit. Mental Health Matters is a program dedicated to issues pertaining to mental health, interpersonal relations, addiction, sex and sexuality, and we like to try to help discuss healthy ways in which to live a more thoughtful and a more emotionally honest and fulfilling life. Psychological issues are complex, and they are misunderstood. While all of us have had all sorts of issues that are emotional in nature, we tend to have blind spots. We all get confused. We have all experienced sadness or depression, anxiety or panic, peer pressure, loss, and the list goes on. Yet, as a society, we underfund mental health programs, have morally confused notions of how to make our pain go away, and judge others for their behavior. Each week on Mental Health Matters, I introduce a topic, and I discuss that topic either with a knowledgeable guest or from my own body of information and experience. And then I give you, the audience, an opportunity to ask questions or weigh in on the subject. If you would like to reach us today, please give us a ring at 649. I just lost the number, and I'll get it now. I'm sorry. My page just went kaflooey here. So 649-9737, 649-9737. That's the number at which you can reach us today. Mental Health Matters comes to you every Thursday at 1 p.m. on WRIR 97.3 FM. You can also listen to the program in real time by logging on to WRIR's website, www.wrir.org. The show will be available for you to listen to by this evening, along with all my past shows. Just log on to WRIR's website, and then you can click on my show, and it will give you directions to get to where the shows are archived. So, talking about mental health issues, one of the things that I learned when I was in graduate school, one of my teachers used to say, is that when children reached adolescence, and when they began to move through puberty into another stage of life, that it was a natural stage of mental illness, that they all were a little off. Now, I have to say that I happen to love adolescents. I love watching them move into the next stage of their lives. But every day is a new experience, often. And one of the things that adolescents often struggle with is how to maintain an even emotional state. So if you live with an adolescent, and I admit I do, they will sort of go up and down in how they feel that day. One minute they're happy, another minute sad, another minute confused, and another minute very clear about what they're supposed to do. This stage, in fact, as we look developmentally in psychological development, is very much like a really little kid who doesn't and hasn't begun to learn to manage their emotional states. And that is because moving into adolescence is a huge shift. And it's a wonderful time of life. It can be an overwhelming and sometimes scary time of life. So today, what I have done is I have assembled a lovely panel of adolescents, three teenagers. I have Chris Muega. He's 17. He goes to J.R. Tucker High School. And he was actually born in Kenya and moved to the United States when he was in...
Eight.
When he was 8 years old.
Yes.
Rebecca Lowe. She's 16. And she goes to Godwin. And she's a rising junior. And I also brought along my daughter, Juliana Moskowitz, who is 16 and is a rising senior. Thank you all very much for coming.
Thank you for having us.
They're excited and adorable, I have to say. So I want to ask you a question, Chris. Would you consider yourself a fairly happy person?
Yes, I would. I like my life, and I like everyone in it.
That's a nice thing to say. And what's interesting about saying that is that a lot of adolescents would not say that. Do you think that's true?
Yes. Yeah.
What do you think it is that other adolescents would find more difficult about their life that you accept and look at as being really wonderful and lovely?
Who they are, and just, I feel like most adolescents have a hard time finding themselves, and I think that's why they might not be happy with who they are.
You feel more clear about who you are?
Yes.
That is interesting. How about you, Becca? Do you feel like you're a fairly happy person?
Yeah, I think that certain people don't really know what they are looking for in life, and I think that I have friends that surround me with like wonderful stuff, and I have wonderful friends, wonderful family, and just surrounding myself with that makes me happier just living, because I know that I have everybody there for me.
You know, it is interesting because all three of you today are people who grew up in intact families with, you know, intact parents, and I, you know, maybe the next time I do this panel, I'll invite some other kids who maybe have a different version a different kind of consistency or lack of in their lives. So, Juliana, do you see yourself as having future goals?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I want to go to college and succeed in life.
Do you think that there are other children around you, other kids your age, who you see struggling more with those issues of what they're going to do in the future?
Yeah, because I think if you're surrounded by people and family who have goals and have achieved what they want, opposed to some of my friends who families or their surroundings are falling apart, so they don't really have people to back them up to show them what they really need to do.
So you can see by looking at other people that if you put one foot in front of the other and do what you're supposed to do, that your life will open up in a different way and that you can reach goals.
Yeah.
Do you think that school is harder than you thought it was going to be?
Definitely junior year, when people said it was hard, definitely was a lot harder than my freshman and sophomore year, because it's a year that they really hunker down at school and tell you that that this year is the one that colleges are going to most look at. This is the year that's going to mean the most on your college application. So not only was it harder, but it's more stressful because it means more.
What did you do with that stress?
I definitely stressed out a lot. And exercise and talking about it with your friends definitely helps, because you know you're not the only one suffering, I guess to say, or stressing out about it, because everyone else is thinking the same exact thing and working just as hard. So,
what about you? How do you deal with your stress at school?
I am on a crew team with Juliana. So whenever I have a bad day, I'll show up just crying, and I'll just tell coach that I just want to pull as hard as I possibly can, and I do. And that's pretty much, if when it's not crew season, my life is harder just because I don't have that oomph that I have to go and just like work out and just work everything off.
That physical outlet mm-hmm. really feels good to you.
Yeah, I just love going, just like giving everything and just like coming off the water in so much pain, but knowing that like all of my stress is just gone.
It is really true, you know, that when you fatigue a muscle, its response is then to relax. And it is really an unbelievably important way to manage stress. How do you manage stress?
Like Juliana said, talking to your friends, because I'm sure they have the same, they're going through the same thing, and I'm sure they would help you. But most of all, I usually talk to my mother, and she talks to me and tries to help me with my stress, and she knows exactly what to do.
That is interesting. You talk to your mother. Do you think all kids talk to their parents?
Not at all. I don't think so.
Why?
I feel like they don't know, like, they think they're too old or whatever, and they don't think they've been through the same thing when they were younger, and
but they have.
Yes, they have.
Yes. And sure so you really can see that your mother has something to offer you.
Yes.
Yes. So, Chris, you're at school, and do you feel like there's peer pressure that's difficult for you to say no to?
Not really, because I choose friends that don't give me that kind of peer pressure, so I'm not really usually around it. but I see it often and I try to stay away from it.
What is the pressure that you feel? And in particular, and let me just say, I mean, you are a boy and you're Black, and that's a very different experience than these two children who are both females, obviously, and white, and from a different kind of world. I bet you do feel different kinds of pressures. What might they be?
Fitting in coming from Africa, I feel like coming here, the pressure is trying to fit in, not trying to be the outcast. He's not from here. He doesn't know the ways of here or whatever. So I think that's like the biggest pressure that I have, is trying to fit in.
And do you see that you've made good decisions trying to fit in?
Yes, yes.
Yes. How did you do that? Where'd you get that wisdom?
My mother, again. Yes.
What about you? Do you feel peer pressure?
Talking
to Becca now.
Sometimes, you'll be hearing people talk at school just like about, oh, we're going to this party. Like, and some of my friends do party, but I just don't feel the need to, because if you can't have fun that isn't doing stuff that you should not be doing, then you should get help. Because, like, you are 16. You have so much of your life ahead of you. And I'm not going to be pressured into something that I don't want to do when, one, it's illegal, and, two, it's bad for me. So, I mean, I'm a very unique person, and I won't let anybody pressure me into doing anything, just because I'm strong-willed and I know that I am my person.
And I would ask you the same thing. Where did you get that wisdom from?
My mom, probably, and my sister.
Oh, you have an older sister.
Yes.
And she's been a great guide for you.
Yeah, she's 24, so she's 8 years older than me, so I just watched her.
So what about you? I'm talking to Juliana now. And let me just say, you're listening to Mental Health Matters here on WRIR 97.3 FM. If you'd like to call today and talk to any of the teenagers, we're talking about the kinds of things that teenagers struggle with. And you can reach us today at, I lost the number again. There it is. 649-9737, 649-9737, if you'd like to ask a question or weigh in on the subject. So what about you, Juliana? Do you feel like there's peer pressure that you have to kind of move around as well?
Not really peer pressure to do bad things, but peer pressure to do well, I guess. Not the fact that to go out and party or do something, but the peer pressure that to do well in school and to do better than you actually think you can
That's interesting. So if you hang around with people who have strong goals, that it's almost like a little bit of competition to see who's smarter and getting better grades, which I guess is better than to see who can drink more. But it does create a bit of pressure as well then, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you think that you have confronted drugs or alcohol at all at school? Never even once?
Not really, no. I don't. Like, there might be at our school. I don't think there is. But I definitely surround myself with people who have smart enough instinct to not do that. So,
do you feel a social pressure to fit in or be cool, like Chris was talking about?
Definitely not. Not really. I'm a pretty friendly person, so. But all my friends are kooks, and we all have fun within ourselves. So I don't really feel pressure to fit in, to be kooky. So I definitely think that it depends on your friends and who you surround yourself by if you're going to get peer pressure. If you try to associate with people that you're going to have to try to be like, then you're going to have more pressure to fit in, opposed to all my friends are like me and we all like have so much fun together. We don't have that pressure to be cool or try to fit in because we all
Because you're definitely not
ourselves.
Cool. You know, as I'm talking to Julianne, I have to say that as her mother, I have always said that she could have fun in a paper bag. The child can amuse herself with air.
So true.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And it's a wonderful, I think, gift, I really have to say. So have you experienced drugs and alcohol at school?
Not really, because once again, it's about who you surround yourself with. And if your friends aren't around that, then I don't think you have the pressure to do whatever they're doing because they're not doing the drugs or alcohol.
All right, let me ask you a harder question, okay? What about things like dating and issues of intimacy and sexuality? Is there pressure about that?
Sometimes, because we're in high school, everyone wants to do, like we said, dating or whatever. And I feel like there's pressure on that because you kind of want to fit in at the same time. But then again, you have your morals and you really don't want to go there. And
it's hard to sustain that.
Yes.
Yes. And I could see that. Do you think that with a group of guys, they kind of talk with more bravado about sex than maybe
the group because
dudes?
They just want to feel all cool. Oh, I'm a man. I have to do this. But no, you don't. You can do your own thing.
Do you see that kind of pressure at your school or among your friends talking about issues of dating and boyfriends and sex and sexuality?
Definitely. Like, I know I'm being a sophomore. Last year I was a sophomore. So, like, it wasn't – I think being a junior this year is going to be different because you are getting ready to go to college and you only do have one more year. So it's different than dating, like, your freshman year because you can date the person for 2 years. But then you start to get serious because you're going off to college and you're going separate ways. So I think it just gets different and I think more difficult because people want different things and guys do kind of sort of pressure girls into doing that because they want it. And some guys aren't like that and some girls it's the opposite way around. But I think you just have to surround yourself with people that you think are going to be the best for you and the people that you know that are your friends and won't pressure you to do drugs or anything because that's just who you think that you'll do best with.
You guys have said that over and over again, that it's so much about who you choose to be with. And, I mean, it's a good take-home lesson. I guess if you had some advice for ninth graders, it would be to be careful about who you choose to be friends with. So let me ask you that. Do girls, because I just asked about boys, do girls talk about being sexual?
I don't know.
Juliana just handed that question off to Becca. You little wuss.
Juliana and I have been friends for too long to count. So, like, yeah, we talk about stuff, but it's not like, oh, have you had sex? Like, we don't, that's not a question that, I don't think I've ever asked any girl that.
I think it's more of the fact of, like, if you ask a question, if, like, oh, well, what would you do in this situation?
Yeah.
Just for asking for help, more so than, oh, have you done this yet? Or things like that. So it just depends. Like,
you would ask a friend for help to try to figure something out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that there are some girls who are 16 who that you know are sexually active already?
Yes.
Yes.
And how do you know that? How do you know that?
I don't think it's, like, secretive. Like, I think if you're 16, it's not – if that ever happened to me, like, that would not be something that I would want to share. That's my life. Like, I don't want anybody knowing my life. And
at that level.
Exactly. Like, at any level, if I'm not friends with you, I don't think you should know my shoe size.
What is your shoe size? Just kidding. I wear a 6.5.
But it's just like, I don't think, you're 16, you don't know what's going to be ahead. I just don't think it's necessary to happen now.
Do you know people who are sexually active, Chris?
Yes, I do. It gets all over Facebook. Then after Facebook, it goes to school, and then everyone hears about it.
That must be horrible.
It's a big mess. And it's sad. It's really sad. You're 16. You shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah. Because you don't really have the emotional maturity to manage the bigger picture sexually.
Mm-hmm.
Getting your feelings hurt, being sexual with somebody and then having them dump you.
Yes.
Or things about getting pregnant. Those things are bigger picture and they're difficult to deal with. Did you want to say something?
My mom always told me that if I was ready to have sex, that I would be able to go to her and say, Mom, I'm ready. But that's something that I can't look my mom in the face and say that, because that's not something that's like normal conversation. And so I know that I'm not ready, and I won't be for a while, because I am 16 and it's not something that's on the top of my list. Like, I want to be a brain surgeon, I want to do all this stuff, so I'm not going to ruin my life with one decision when I have all these other decisions that I can make.
No, it is really true. I mean, you can ruin your life with one decision. It is. It's really true. So ask you one more question in this realm, okay? What happens to kids? What happens to kids whose reputations are ruined, or people are talking about them on Facebook? What do you see happening?
Rumors spread. They get bigger than they actually are. The whole story builds and builds and builds until it's just something that completely isn't true anymore. And they get a reputation and they get talked about and all that. And it definitely, I think, hurts their self-esteem, that especially if it's something bad that they're talking about. Because, like I said, like, their self-esteem goes down, and it's just something that really affects their experience in high school. So
what's been the hardest thing in high school? What's been the hardest thing, not in high school, about being an adolescent? What's been the hardest thing?
Emotion changing. It's a pain in the butt.
You mean the ups and downs?
Yes, because you can't control it, and you'll be sitting there 1 minute. I know, like, we were sitting there the other day, and I was completely goofing around with you, then the next minute I was just like, why is she talking to me? Why is she chewing so loud? Like we were in the kitchen today, both eating cereal, and I thought I was going to kill you because you were chewing so loud. And the minute before that, we were joking around and, like, eating cinnamon cereal with oats. Like, so it's definitely hard to try and balance that, because you don't know how to control it. And when you're around your friends and things like that, like, you're not really sure what to do, because you haven't really put yourself together yet, because you haven't really figured it out.
Mm-hmm. What do you think's been the hardest thing about being an adolescent?
I think emotions, like, the same thing. Just because, like, you don't know who you are yet, and just everything is just coming so fast-paced. Like, high school just, like, this year went by so quick, and just everything just comes so fast. And, like, when you are 1 minute happy, and then the next you're like, oh, my God, what am I doing? Like, you don't know what's going on, and I feel this, like, that's how I feel all the time, because I think I'm a happy person, but sometimes I'm just like, oh, my God, like,
things come at you so fast-paced that you don't know how to manage all the emotional stuff that comes with it.
Exactly.
Right. No, that's interesting. What about you?
I think the hardest, what was the question again?
Well, what has been the hardest thing about being an adolescent?
I think figuring out what you want to do in life, because when you're in elementary school, you know, you want to be a bus driver, you want to do this, you want to do that. Middle school, you don't really care. Then high school, you're like, I'm running out of time. Now you're trying to figure out what you want to do in life, what you want to be. And I think that's like the hardest, that's like the hardest thing in being an adolescent, because it changes every second, you know. I want to do this, I want to do that. And you just can't come up with a final decision.
It gets kind of scary.
Yes,
it does. You start to think, oh, my God, I'm going to have to take care of myself.
Like right now, yeah. I just keep changing what I want to do in life.
What do you want to do in life?
I want to be a psychologist, I think.
What a great idea. Why do you want to do that?
I like helping people and hearing about their problems. Yeah.
So, and when you think of other things to do, what are the other things that come into your mind? I mean, you're very talented technologically, aren't you?
Yes.
And you're artistic?
Yes.
Yes.
I want to be a doctor, I guess, too, and doing something with computers. But like I said, this is like the hardest time, because I'm running out of time, and I don't know what I want to do anymore.
May I ask you this one question that's sort of separate from what I asked the other kids, but your parents were raised in a whole other culture, in a whole other world, yes?
Yes, they were.
Right. So do you think that gives you a unique perspective?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. You think you're lucky for having had that?
I am. I like, because like everyone, like if I meet someone, they're like, oh, they think I'm American. But like when they get to know me, they're like, oh, he's a Kenyan or whatever. And I just feel like I'm separated from them because I've been behind like other cultures and stuff, and it feels cool to be around that.
Yeah.
Like at school, I'm like I'm around American, and then I get home, and then I'm like Kenyan, and then back to school American, back home Kenyan.
Do you think you feel more grateful than most kids do?
Yes.
Yes, I bet you do. I bet you do. So what about you, Becca? Because you are sort of in... Are you afraid of things? Are you afraid of growing up? Are you afraid of...
No.
No, not really.
No, just, I'm excited.
You're like, excited.
I have always had a dream of being a doctor, and I finally figured out that I really want to be a brain surgeon, just because I've always just found, like, a love of science, and everything just, like, interests me so much. And, like, I'm nervous for college because I'm scared I'm not going to get in, because my freshman year and sophomore year, I did not try as hard as I should have and as hard as I know I could have. But this year should be tough, and I'm going to try as hard as I can.
You think you've got it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're from a different kind of perspective, too, because you kind of have more of, you're a minority religion in a bigger sort of culture. Do you think you have a different perspective than other kids at school?
Sometimes. Being Jewish, like, some people will drop, like, Hitler jokes, and it's just, like, it's sad to say that I've gotten used to it, but I've gotten used to it, and, like, some things, like, they don't bother me because I know that they don't feel the same way that I do about my religion and how I feel that I have a home that other people don't, and I know that if I ever need anything, that the Jewish community is there, and I know that if they say something, I'm just going to wipe it off because it doesn't matter to me, because that's what you think, but that's not what I think.
Oh, that's really interesting, actually. So do you feel scared of the future?
Definitely. I think my perspective completely changed this year after your junior year and you're going to your senior year. And I remember we had an assembly a few weeks ago, and it came to the point that they handed out our cap and gown forms, and I was thinking, what is this? Like, what did they just hand me? Like,
I'm only six.
Yeah, like, and you worry about how fast time goes by and that you're not going to be able to get everything done and that you're not going to be able to figure it out in time. And I think that's definitely a scary part. But once you actually get there, like, I'm at the end of my junior year, I'm like, hey, you know what? I did cry more times in freshman and sophomore year combined this year, but I made it through. And it makes you think, like, well, you know, every day did feel like you're going through molasses, but towards the end, like, it turned out okay and it was all right. So there's a positive and negative end towards it, but I think more positive than negative.
Do you think you know what you want to do, or do you think that you know what you want to do because your father keeps telling you what you want to do?
I think I know what I want to do with a twist of what my father wants me to do, because I want to be the emergency room doctor. But he wants me to do the pediatrics, so I'll do the emergency room doctor in pediatrics.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for coming today. You guys did a great job. I hope that this wasn't too anxiety-producing for you, and I hope that you will come back again maybe in the middle of next year as you're going off to college. We'll hear what's going on. I enjoyed you coming very much. I hope that you all will listen again next week to Mental Health Matters at 1 o'clock on Thursdays. And thanks for listening to Mental Health Matters. I hope you'll tune in again next week on Thursday at 1 o'clock. This is Gail Moss.
In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now.